You know, there's so much argument among Christians whether the church will go through the tribulation or not. The important thing is to be ready. Supposing the church does go through the tribulation, are you ready? Supposing the Lord comes before the tribulation, are you ready? The important thing is to be ready. If you have your doctrine right and you're not ready, it's going to be pretty pathetic in the last days for you. So, though I have certain convictions myself, I personally believe the church will go through the tribulation, we'll see the Antichrist before Christ returns. It's very clear to me in Scripture, without a shadow of doubt. And I see my calling as to prepare people for those days of persecution. One of the mistakes that many Christian missionaries made in China in the early part of the 20th century was that they told the Christians there that Christ will come before the tribulation. And so everybody was waiting for that. And instead of Christ coming, the communists came and took over the country, and they've been ruling there for 60 years now, not just 7 years of tribulation. So, and some of those Chinese Christian leaders said the reason why many Christians renounced Christ and forsook Him at that time was because they were not prepared. They were told, oh, Jesus will come, be ready for that. And instead of that, they got tortured in communist prisons and they denied the faith. So it's important for us to be ready. Much more important than the details of His second coming. Then we can ask, why has God given various vague sort of details which people interpret in various ways? Do you know that through the years people have said that Christ would come in 1841, 1844, 1994, different times, and He never came. There are people who waited up on mountains in white clothes and then went away. There were preachers who told people to sell everything because Christ is coming in a few years and swiped their money and sent them back home penniless. All types of things have gone on in the name of Christ, particularly in the last 100 and 150 years. But you'll never go wrong if you listen to what the Lord said, to be ready for His coming. And it doesn't matter when it is. So that's what I want to emphasize. Now I want to turn to a passage in Luke chapter 21, where Jesus said, He's talking about the days when men will faint from fear. Chapter 21, verse 26. Men will faint from fear in the expectation of things that are coming upon the world. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up. I believe Christians should take this seriously. Straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. I take it like this, that a true disciple of Jesus has got his head lifted up at all times. He's never hanging down in defeat and in depression and gloom and occupied with earthly things. Have you seen the animals in the world? Every animal that I ever see, I see them with their head to the ground, whether it's a cow or a dog or a pig or... If you haven't noticed that, just look around next time. Do you want to be like the animals? Always looking down at earthly things and what can I get for myself? That's what the animals look for. They're always looking it down to see. Now there's a way, I mean, our look can also be like that. And that's what reduces us to the level of animals. For animals, food, sex and sleep. That's the main thing. Food, sex, sleep. And when food, sex, and sleep become the most important things for you, I'm sorry to say this, but you've reduced yourself to the level of an animal. You never see a cow looking up and praising God, or a pig or a dog or even a lion. That's reserved for us. But unfortunately, you see even a lot of human beings, their heads are not lifted up. Their heads are down. One of the first questions that the Lord asked Cain you know, outside the Garden of Eden, the first question God ever asked a man was, why is your face fallen? You know, that's one of the first questions, perhaps the first question that the Lord asked a man outside the Garden of Eden. Why is your face looking down? He had something wrong in his heart towards somebody else. That was the reason why his face was down. There could be many reasons. But Jesus said, we must walk with our heads lifted up because He is our glory and the lifter of our head. If your head is not lifted up because of some earthly reason, ask the Lord to lift up your head. It's not only those who have no problems. I think the Lord is pleased the Lord to take me through many trials in my life. Otherwise, I wouldn't have any ministry today. But He's taught me to lift up my head and not sink under those trials, but walk on top of the water. Because that's His power that can keep us. We can't do it without it. And then He said in verse 34 of Luke 21, be on guard. Be on your guard. He said that often in relation to the last days. The thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, He said. And Jesus said that His coming would be so sudden. He's not a thief. He never said that. He said the devil's a thief. But His coming would be as sudden as a thief in the night. So we've got to be on our guard. And that's why the Bible says that we, God's people, are not going to find Christ's coming like that of a thief. I want to show you that before coming back here in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Because many Christians say, hey, His coming is like a thief in the night for me. I say, no, sir, it's not like that. You haven't read the scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5, it says in verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2. You yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. And while everybody around is saying peace and safety, destruction will come. Like the Living Bible says, a thief is not going to call ahead and make an appointment before he comes to your house. It's when everybody's walking around complacently, congratulating each other, saying, hey, we got it made. And that's the time we can take it easy now. Suddenly everything will fall apart. You know, we're living in a world, and that's coming into the cities in India too, where people have become rich and they say, hey, we've got it made now, finally. And now we can take it easy. Suddenly, everything's going to fall apart. Now, be ready for that. The Lord said that. A lot of people who put their trust in currency and money and bank accounts and stock market and real estate and in their secure jobs. I want to tell you, everything's going to fall apart. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to get you to be ready for that day. But keep your head lifted up and trusting in the Lord, and things will not fall apart in your life, no matter what happens around you. But when people have say, we've surely got it made, we can take it easy now, suddenly everything will fall apart, and it's going to come as suddenly and inescapably as birth fangs to a pregnant woman. She knows she's going to deliver, but the actual moment of delivery comes suddenly, and it's birth fangs. But He says, but you, brethren, verse 4, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you like a thief. Did you hear that? So the coming of the Lord like a thief in the night is for the unbelievers. He's going to surprise them. But here's a believer whom the thief does not surprise because he's alert. It doesn't mean he never sleeps, but spiritually he never sleeps. That's the meaning. Physically, we have to sleep, but spiritually, we've got to be alert. We read that the wise virgins were physically asleep, but the lamps were burning. How do you like that? They were asleep, but their lights were on. So we get tired, we naturally on this earth, we fall asleep, but our lights can still be burning. That means they were ready when the bridegroom came. So that's the point. When it says in Luke 21, verse 34, be on guard. Now, how do I ensure that I can, even when I'm physically tired and physically asleep, my light's going to be burning? My head's lifted up. Even if I'm physically tired and asleep, Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with drunkenness. Now, I can understand physical drunkenness. I hope none of us ever get drunk. But there is another drunkenness that Jesus speaks about, of the heart. Now, how do you know when a man is drunk? Well, for externally, of course, you can make out because he can't walk steady. He's this way and that way and the other way. He can't walk a straight line. And spiritually also, it's something like that. You know you're drunk with the world when you can't walk straight with the Lord. There's a bit of crookedness in your life. You can't walk straight. You can't have your eyes fixed on the things above. Sometimes here and sometimes there. Then you know you're drunk. And in the same way, a drunken man, another characteristic of a drunken man is he really doesn't know what's happening around him. You can steal his money and he won't even know it because he's so drunk that he's in another world. The real world is not real to him. And especially people who are on drugs. You know, if it were written today, it would be something like this. Don't get drugged in your heart. And a person's on drugs and he's on what they call a high. It's actually a low, by the way. He's living in another world. The real world is not real to him. And when a Christian lives in a way where the real world, by the way, is in heaven, is not real to him. But another world, which is unreal, this earthly world, is real to him, you know he's drunk. I've made that rule for myself, that when the things of this earth, please listen carefully, are more real to me than the things of heaven, I'm drunk. And I never want to be drunk.